Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Second Wife Life Podcast. I am your host, Carly Tate Williams. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, today's episode topic is part two of expectation versus reality. And today we're going to talk about dealing with the ex, because we all know, just like with the kids, we have expectations when going into something. This actually applies to everything in life. But today we're just going to talk about the expectations that you have when becoming a second wife and a stepmom and dealing with the ex. We're going to talk about two major topics today. The first expectation for me was bio mom already knows who I am and my family. She is in a serious relationship, so why would she not accept me? To dive into this first topic, I do feel like I need to give some background here on how she knew who I was and how she knows my family. So let me just start out by telling you our history. So my husband worked for our family business, and my dad hired him when he was 21 years old, which, side note, made me 14 at the time. My parents attended my now husband's first wedding. My mom went to my bonus son's baby shower. And the day my bonus son was born, my dad drove an hour to go visit my husband and his ex in the hospital. I believe he brought my husband a can of dip and brought them dinner. So my family was nothing new to bio mom. And I truly felt this would be to my advantage, as I wasn't some brand new person that she knew nothing about. I'm pretty sure when my husband told her we were dating, the first words out of her mouth were, "Chuck's daughter," which is my favorite phrase to be recognized as. With my dad passing away 4.5 years ago, I will never get tired of people recognizing who I am because of him. I'm sure I will talk more about him later on, and I'd actually love to have an episode solely about grief. I think most people can relate, and just like stepmotherhood, grief is something that people are also scared to talk about from the fear of bringing on sadness and hurt. So back to topic, was I accepted at first? Yes. I actually had really high hopes that we'd be able to have a pretty good relationship. Was this naive of me? Maybe. But I'm also an optimist, and I try to always think the best of any situation. I also give people a huge benefit of the doubt and believe that most people are good. This can also bite you in the butt, because not everyone is good or has good intentions. But for the first year, I'd say things were pretty good. For example, on my bonus son's first birthday that we were together, it was his mom's scheduled day with him, but my son really wanted to see him and give him his birthday present before he went to his dad's for the weekend. So my husband suggested that we go to bio mom's house on our way out of town to meet my son's dad. He lives an hour and a half away, so we meet in the middle for drop-offs. Did it seem a little weird to go over to bio mom's house without my husband? Absolutely. We had also only been dating for 3 months officially at the time, so I hadn't been around her very much yet. It was a bit awkward at first when we got to her house, but I can make conversation with just about anyone, and it actually went really smoothly. I didn't hate being there, and I didn't hate making conversation with her. I dare say I even enjoyed it. This little visit really gave me hope that we could be great co-parents. I knew that if I started dating my husband, we would be getting married. And so did he. He wasn't one to bring women around his son, and I think the first time we actually hung out as a date setting was actually with the kids. That's one reason I was so hesitant on being official with him. It scared me after everything I had been through. But we were engaged our 5th month of dating and got married in our 11th month of dating. When you know, you know. Did I also mention he was one of my first managers as a 16-year-old girl? Yes, he loved me even back then. And he gets so uncomfortable when I say that. But hello, I looked good when I was 16. I was in great shape from volleyball. I was all nice and tan. And this was before we also had a strict dress code at work. So I got to wear jean shorts to work every day. And you know what my husband loves for me to wear? Jean shorts. If I ever put on a pair and ask him the question, "Do these look okay?" he gives me the biggest eye roll and says, "You know you look good." The best confidence booster. But okay, back to bio mom relationship. Again, I just had very high hopes for our situation and really wanted us to be the odd one out, because all you ever hear about with step family relationships are the drama, and everyone always wants to know, "So, how are you and bio mom?" Or sometimes, "How is your husband and bio dad?" That second one is really only asked by people who know my ex personally, though, but everyone is pretty comfortable asking the first question. And why is that? Stepmom and mom relationships are such a hot gossip topic. And I think it's because people just automatically expect there to be trouble and drama. While the stepdad and dad relationship is really just overlooked most of the time. With this expectation, I received a ton of feedback from fellow bonus moms about their own experiences inside their stepfamily relationships. And there was one kind of common factor, I would say. So even though I have not personally been through some of the things that a lot of other people have, I would say one big piece of advice I would give to anyone that's dealing with an ex that they think maybe doesn't like them, or someone that longs for that close relationship with the bio parent, I think it is very likely that it's not personal against you like you think it may be. Maybe it is just hard for that biological parent to accept that there is another motherly role in their child's life. There is a good chance it could just be the position you hold, not you as a person. I feel for anyone if you find yourself in this situation. And as a bio mom myself, it's very likely that my son will have a bonus mom one day. Drew and I have had several conversations about this, and if and when it happens one day, as long as the woman who is in my son's life cares for him, shows him compassion, and can love him, what more can someone ask for? It is just one more person looking out for your child's best interests and one more person to love him. I hope if and when that day comes, this woman can be comfortable around me and that we can have an enjoyable co-parenting experience. Because I would imagine unnecessary tension just plain sucks and it wouldn't be fair to the kids involved. But if you find yourself in the position where you feel you aren't wanted, I would just really advise you to try and not take it personally. Because, number one, you never know what can happen one day. And I say that from true experience in dealing with the relationship between myself and my son's dad. Both are applicable in this example in the same way. So whether the relationship with the bio parent in you is strained, or even the relationship between you and your ex is strained, don't give up hope. Because truly, I never thought that my ex and I would be at the place that we are now. A lot happened and went down between the two of us, and we're able to. It's truly a miracle that, for example, through wrestling season at all the tournaments, I mean, we sat next to each other the whole time, all day, and sometimes you're there for 6 to 8 hours, and it's fine. There's no drama, there's no issues, and that in itself is truly amazing. If you personally know our story, which I'm not going to get into on here. So just never give up hope, because you truly never know what can happen. We are in control of our own thoughts, and our thoughts drive our actions, and our thoughts also drive how our day is going to go. This is something that I have really started to practice. When something happens, and I'm not perfect at it, but this is something that's helped me, and I know it will help other people as well. When you're faced with a hard situation that affects your family, it's easy to let harsh and negative thoughts creep in, but part of taking a step back is telling yourself to not think those awful thoughts, whether it's about the other person's intentions or just the situation that's happened. Like if there's a reoccurring problem, let's say, if you dwell on that problem that you cannot change and make yourself have a miserable day, a miserable week, whatever it may be, you are in charge of those thoughts and you have to flip that. Once again, stop thinking those negative thoughts, because if you think negative thoughts, negative day is all you're going to produce. We are in control of that and you are in control of your own brain. So if some situations are reoccurring and there is a constant problem, when that problem happens again, try taking a different approach. And instead of being frustrated that it's happening once again, just laugh and say, oh, well, that's just how they are. And if you tell yourself that enough, it will change your mindset and help you have a better day and not dwell on all the negative things that happen. Each of us have had a different walk in life and have been changed by events that have happened to us. This makes each person's reality and truth different than the next and how we respond to situations that are thrown at us. Think fight or flight. When you're faced with a stressful situation that is arising, you can feel your heart rate rise, your breathing increase, pale skin, and if you're like me, instant sweaty palms. And some people's pupils even dilate. I've never thought to check out my pupils while going through this response, but when you're faced with the fight or flight response, what is your reaction? How do you calm yourself down and get back to the correct frame of mind? I find myself feeling my blood pressure rise, the biggest indicator for me. I know that I need to take some deep breaths and get outside if at all possible. Going on a walk in our neighborhood has been able to bring me such clarity when brainstorming how to navigate through tough situations. Learning how to take care of yourself first is a huge part of being a second wife. That is, if you're like me. It is never easy to admit your faults. But one of my biggest faults and something I have tried to work on my whole adult life is, what's the easiest way to put this? Being jealous that my partner has a past? Grieving that I'm not the first one? I don't like being second in anything. But for myself, again, I have to flip this negative mindset. One trait I do love about myself is that I'm an optimist. I always have been. Why? Because what good does it do to only think about the negative in life and what could go wrong? So even though I don't like being second, I am also very privileged to be Drew's second wife. I guarantee you I have a different and better version of my husband. He absolutely has a different and better version of me as a second husband. You learn so much about yourself when you go through a divorce. You're forced to look at why your marriage failed. And I would constantly think of ways that maybe I triggered fights that me and my ex had. If you don't grow through your divorce, it doesn't give your future a fighting chance. Drew has always been such a great guy. But how lucky am I that I get the best version of my husband? For example, if you have had a baby, think of how difficult that first newborn phase was. It's a complete shock to both of you, and in my case at least, if a marriage doesn't have a strong foundation, this phase will absolutely destroy you. And that's literally what happened to both of us. But this next time, I have never felt so loved, appreciated, and valued as I did after my husband and I had Case. It was such a special time, and I am looking forward to getting to experience this again with my husband. Having kids is hard, and having babies is hard, but going through life in these big moments with the spouse that you're truly meant to be with brings a joy I never knew I could experience. The second expectation came about because my husband's divorce was the complete opposite of mine in some ways. So my expectation was that my husband and his ex have a very amicable co-parenting relationship and virtually drama-free relationship. Thank goodness. Because we don't need any extra drama in our lives, and I was so thankful for this. For the most part, my expectation was correct. And I personally longed to be at the place of my husband and his ex. Able to communicate without trouble or drama, get along amicably, and be in each other's presence around your child without extra stress. Drew would constantly encourage me and tell me that it will just take time, but my ex and I will eventually get to the same place. And I would always tell him, wishful thinking, our situations are just not the same. We can hope for that all we want, babe, but it's not going to happen, and I am not getting my hopes up. Let's just say my situation was severely toxic and very emotionally draining. But surprise, surprise, like I said earlier, don't give up hope. We are better now, and I should have listened to my husband more. That's right, babe, you were right. Another aspect of dealing with people who are involved in your life that is outside of your marriage is how you communicate with your spouse. My husband and I are polar opposites with our personality types. I get upset more quickly and more emotionally than he does. Or I should say I just show my emotion more than he does. He is the calm one, which works out perfectly for us. He is able to help me stop seeing red and helps me handle situations more amicably, while I'm able to encourage him to stand up for himself better and stand up for our family. I love my husband so much, but his more passive attitude drives me up a wall sometimes. I love it at times and I hate it other times. And I'm pretty sure he feels the same way about my passion for certain things. One time recently, we were in a very emotional disagreement about a family member. And let's just say I was pretty heated. It's hard for me to control my voice level when I'm upset about something or feel passionate about something. And sometimes Drew will just say, "Just calm down." And my little brother says that to me too. And guess what, people? That phrase doesn't calm you down. I'm pretty sure my response back to that is always, "I am calm." Until you say that. It's just how I express myself, and even though Drew knows this, we are just complete opposites. But during this discussion, he goes, "Babe, I know you just feel strongly about this and want to stand up for what is right. It's one of the traits that made me fall in love with you, but I am just a natural peacemaker." All that to say, when you're dealing with co-parents, you and your spouse have to be on the same page with each other, and you have to respect each other. That's the biggest piece. Never speak to one another in a matter that is disrespectful. Drew knows my heart and my intentions, but there are some days he will tell me, "I need to talk to you about this, and I don't need you interjecting and telling me what I need to do. I just need to vent right now." And I appreciate him telling me that so much. It's something that keeps our marriage healthy. I am a control freak, and by nature, I want to help fix any problem or issue that arises. But sometimes, our spouses don't need us to fix their problem or be their counselor. They just need to vent and complain and get these issues off of their chest. I think how you communicate with each other is huge. You don't want to feel like you're fighting or arguing about someone else. I value Drew's opinion so much. His opinion on how to handle things is always the first one I seek out. He makes me a better person and inherits all of the traits that I lack. We're a true match. But when you're having a heated discussion, it can sometimes feel like you and your spouse are the ones with the problems. Until you take a step back and are like, "Whoa, we aren't the ones fighting, and we aren't about to let an outside person be an issue between the two of us." That's one big piece of advice that I would give. Don't let an outside person become an issue inside of your marriage. There has been an issue or two that we just had to completely drop discussing between the two of us because it was not my problem to deal with. That's where my control issues come in. I have to make the conscious decision for the health of my own marriage to butt out and step back. He is an adult, and my job is to support him, not for me to force my opinions down his throat and try to fix everything. If you're listening to this, babe, I'm always trying to do better. So if you find yourself relating to the way that I feel, I would really recommend just taking a step back and just trying to support your husband instead of trying to fix all of the problems. So when I decided to go for this podcast, the first topic to discuss came to mind pretty easily, the expectation versus reality. We always have expectations about how anything in life is going to play out. After the first episode aired, I had a friend message me, who is a stepmom to two beautiful little girls, and she said, "Woo, why do we not consider our expectations being completely different than how reality might play out?" And this is such a good point. I responded to her and said, "I don't know, because I've had expectations my whole life that never panned out." I think we all do this to ourselves. Expectations can lead to major disappointment. I'm not saying don't wish for the best or to not be positive, because staying positive through situations has gotten me through life's worst experiences and has truly been my life motto. But I also think it is a healthy thing to have zero expectations about certain things. Or do I dare even say to expect the worst? Because it's good to prepare yourself. If you think of the worst possible outcome and prepare for that, then you're prepared for anything. Because typically it's not the worst thing that can happen. Does anyone watch This Is Us? Randall and his wife play the worst thing that can happen game when they're faced with a stressful situation. Drew laughs every time they do that on the show, but then when we have faced several issues lately, he's brought it up and we have played it ourselves. And it absolutely does help. It can ease your mind and sometimes make you laugh at what the other person thinks could possibly happen. Drew and I also do this when we know we have to bring up a hard or a hot topic with our respective co-parent. The best piece of advice I ever heard when dealing with your ex and hard conversations was to just take the emotion out of it. Speak as though you're in a business transaction or speaking with a boss or a coworker. Keep it professional and unemotional, which is so hard to do sometimes. And I've learned this the hard way. You want to respond with emotion because you feel justified when doing so. But if you keep it professional and unemotional, you can also anticipate the other person's response and how they will take something. Most of our communication with both co-parents is through text messages, which, as we all know, the tone can sometimes be misread. So we try to be very mindful of our wording and how we will come across to the other person. Drew is great at this, and many times I will come to him and say, "Hey, can you please help me word how to bring this up to Kane's dad?" And he will say, "Well, this is how I would put it." He's great at diffusing situations and making the other person not feel like you're attacking them. When you are co-parenting, I think you constantly need to be very self-aware. The best course of action is to keep anything that could encourage a blow-up or a fight out of your verbiage. And when you do start to practice this, to take the emotion out of it, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at the responses that you get back and how well you're able to communicate with one another when they aren't feeling attacked or like you're shoving your emotions down their throat. It's very easy to feel justified in your emotions, and believe me, sometimes you are completely justified, but always remind yourself of your child and what is best for them. It is best for them to not have two parents who are constantly fighting and arguing and have tension between themselves. Your kids need to be your driving force. So to wrap up this episode, to just kind of reiterate everything, expectations of dealing with the ex are just difficult. It's a very touchy subject, and every relationship has a completely different dynamic. Even though we are not in the place that I'd like to be right now, that doesn't mean things can't change in the future. I also think you need to have peace with where you are right now and not always look forward to the future and what may happen later. You have to learn to be content with where you are right now in the situation that you are in right now. You and your family can only benefit from that. Like I said previously, being positive and staying in a positive mindset has been my life motto. I even have it tattooed on my body. My brother and I have matching tattoos that say mind over matter on our arm. We wanted to get matching tattoos for my dad, or in honor of my dad, of something that he taught us. And it took us forever to think of it. My brother, oh, he's so stupid. The only suggestion that he gave was a phrase that my dad used at work, which they owned auto centers, okay? And my brother thought it would be cute to have the phrase "hang and bang" tattooed on us. Just think about that. How that would look if I had that phrase tattooed on my body. Yeah, not happening. So I finally came up with the idea of mind over matter because one of the biggest life lessons my dad taught us, he would always say, "You can do anything you put your mind to." He said it in sports. He said it in school. He said it with hard situations we were dealing with. And it's truly our life motto, and it always has been. You can do anything you put your mind to, and that's why it's tattooed on us as a daily reminder. Life will never be easy, no matter what we're talking about. Life will never be easy. Life will always have challenges and troubles, but put your mind to something and you can get through it. My dad taught me so many things in life, so he is going to be referenced a lot in this podcast. Just a heads up. So let me just give you an example of mind over matter. You can do anything you put your mind to. He lived that phrase every single day. So as I've mentioned before, I come from a highly driven sports family, okay? We're all very competitive. Sometimes we're athletic. But my dad, his passion was baseball. So in high school, he tried out for the team. He didn't make it. He did not make the high school baseball team.
1 year.
Some people would give up and be embarrassed that they didn't make it. Let me also add, my dad was a very large person. And by large, I mean tall. Fully grown, he was 6'8". So I would assume in high school he was like, you know, 6'4", 6'5", depending on the year, because he said he grew till he was 25. So tries out for the baseball team, doesn't make it. Works hard, practices all the time. Makes the high school team that next year. Wants to play college ball. And he's a pitcher, okay? Goes to OSU his freshman year and he wanted to walk on. He didn't get, you know, a scholarship or get recruited. So he goes and meets with the coach. The coach says, you're not the right fit. You're not ready yet. Why don't you go to this community college, go there for a year, learn, soak everything in, and come back and try out again next year. So that's exactly what he did. Went to community college for a year, worked his butt off, met the love of his life, my mom. They both came to Stillwater the next year, and guess what? My dad was a pitcher for the OSU Cowboys. And from there, he was drafted for the Giants as a pitcher. Someone that didn't make the high school baseball team, worked their butt off, set their mind to something, and made it. He made it. I mean, he threw his arm out, so he didn't get much professional time, but he made it. And that is the example that I had to live by my whole life. So if I put my mind to something, I know I can do it. And right now, for me, my challenge is just stepping back. My husband's got it. He's got it all under control. It is not my job to fix problems that really aren't mine. My problems are in my own home, and those are the only issues that I need to worry about. My husband can handle everything else. It's easier said than done, for sure, and I'm not perfect, but I'm just sharing what I am practicing and that I see works. So right now, I am just focusing on the positive. I am focusing on not thinking negative thoughts about situations or about people, and it's already helping. I'm learning to not take things personal, even when the actions of other people are tried to make it feel personal. I'm not going to take it that way. I know what I do in my own home and with our family is appreciated and valued, and that everyone in our household loves each other, and that's all that matters. My relationships and the relationships in my own home are all that matter to me. I'm not saying it is not difficult when you know that things are being said about you, but what can you do? You can't change it. You cannot change what other people say, and you can't change what other people think about you. So brush it off and go on. The only thing that you can control is yourself. So control your thoughts, control your feelings, and it will control your life. Gotta stay positive or your life won't be positive. One other thing I wanted to touch on quickly was for anyone that is going through mediation or court or anything legal with your own children or with your bonus children, the biggest piece of advice that I can give is to step back and do some very hard self-reflection, especially if you are the one in the position of being the bio parent that is in, you know, the lawyer situation, I should say. When going through a custody schedule of any sort, you have to be very self-aware and put yourself in check for the sake of your child or children. When you go through a divorce, or when you separate from the person you're with or, you know, have children with, it's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's about what's best for the child. And it's shown that a child needs both parents. A child needs their family and their siblings, and they need that family unit on both sides. So coming from someone that has been through it with my own child, it really sucks giving up. I shouldn't say giving up. It just sucks when you have to not be selfish when you want to be. It's hard to put those feelings aside and truly think of your child. But once you do truly put your child first, then it does become easier because it just clicks and you're like, wow, this is the best thing for my child. Why would I not want the best thing for my child? So I encourage you to always think of that in your mind if you haven't already. And luckily for me, I have several people in my life who have always kept me in check. And when you have those people, hold on to them tight. Hold on to them very tight. I love having those core group of people that I can call with my situation and say, hey, here's what's going on and here's how I want to react. Am I in the wrong? Am I overreacting? Am I spot on? Please give me advice. And when I have those people that I know and trust that know my personality and know my heart and know where I'm coming from, when they tell me, yeah, don't say that, or you're in the right, or hey, you're in the wrong, and they know that I'm not gonna get upset with them for them telling me, hey, you're in the wrong, I wouldn't do that. That's priceless. Those kind of friendships are truly priceless. The type of friendships that give you pure honesty can't be beat, and they are crucial for where I'm at in my life. You have to have those core group of friends, and it's very important to have someone that keeps you in check and is not afraid to open your eyes to your faults. So don't be afraid to reach out to those people that you know and love and trust and just double check things with them. I do it all the time. I'm sure my three best friends that I check in with regularly, I'm sure sometimes when they see my name on their phone, they're like, what's she got going on today? It's always something, isn't it? It's not always something. There's just seasons of stuff that comes and goes. And that, in a nutshell, is second wife life. There are always ups and downs. It never feels like there's just a constant peace, if you will. Like when you have to deal with other people, and since we have it on both sides, yeah, there's peace, but there's ebbs and flows for sure. And I think that's normal. But as I mentioned earlier, you can't just look for the positive that might be coming in the future or the good that's going to be coming in the future. You can't wait for that. You have to make your good life even in the midst of when things are going wrong. So that's the best piece of advice I can give on dealing with exes and being the second person. And as I mentioned before, find your biggest positive for being the second one, because I promise it's in there somewhere. And most likely, the number one positive is that you are the second one because you get the best version of your spouse. Gotta learn from our mistakes and grow and constantly become better people. I think it was in seventh grade, our English teacher. Yeah, in AP English. I remember her saying, if you're not embarrassed of the person that you were 5 years ago, then you're not growing. And that is so true. And I think time hop really solidifies that now, because there will be statuses that pop up from my Facebook from like 2009, 2012, I mean, even like 2016. And I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, did I really ever write that? What is wrong with me? And why are people commenting on it and engaging in this crap? Like it was something valuable. Oh, so always just be growing and becoming a better person, and you will be the best stepmom you can be and the best mom you can be. Okay, well, I'm kind of relieved this episode has come to an end, just because, I mean, I said it before, people always expect there to be drama and like a backstory between the new wife and the ex-wife. I guess just because people expect drama out of women, and it's my goal for there to be no drama. I don't want there to be any drama. Just want a happy life. And I have a happy life. We have a great life. I'm so thankful for everything. And I'm so thankful for my husband and for my bonus son and our happy, healthy home we have built together. We aren't perfect, of course, but I will say that we're perfect together, and I love the life that we're building. So if you don't love the life that you're building, you can change it. Change your mindset, change your attitude, change your thoughts. It will get better. And don't dwell in that bad headspace for long. It's okay to vent about it, but then vent about it and move on. And the last thing I will say that has helped me just in our situation currently, you know, it doesn't matter what someone else thinks about you. It really doesn't, especially when they are not relevant to your life. If it's not my best friend, my husband, or my kids, why should I care what someone else perceives of me as a person? Or why should I care what they say? Because they're not relevant and they don't matter. For any of those stepmamas out there that maybe deal with a toxic situation, I feel for you. And truly, just remember, it is not about what they think about you. It doesn't matter. So just move on and only care what your spouse and your kids think of you, and your besties that will keep you in check like mine do, who are all wonderful people and wonderful mothers. So thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to me again. Please, please leave me a rating, especially on iTunes or, you know, on Apple Podcasts. Please go in there and just leave me a rating. It really helps my podcast and helps my podcast grow, especially if you leave a review and a star rating on Apple Podcasts. We are also now on Google and Spotify. So if those are the platforms that you use, please leave me a review on there as well. And as always, if anyone wants to message me for any topic ideas, I loved hearing from everyone last time, and I will definitely be using some of the ideas that I got in future episodes. I look forward to next time. Thank you again for listening. I hope everyone has a wonderful day.